everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing new ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. In the studio with me, Julian Joyello. We're getting it together. Ben is away. He's in France for a while. He'll be back. Yesterday we were looking at people making you crazy. We got so many calls, lots of people. I returned most of the calls. Unfortunately, I must let you know that I return calls at night and I block the phone that I call from because I could be calling from a friend's phone or something like that. And I don't want to be giving the number to people to call up. So I called a lot of you and you may have seen a blocked number from New York. Consider it maybe me. Consider. But it was nice to talk to a lot of you. We were talking about crazy making, about people who are doing things either through neglect or intentionally to make you crazy. Or, like the government. The government loves to make you crazy. It loves you to scramble. It loves you to feel like you desperately have to do something. Because everything you do when you're desperate is always wrong. Right? Crazy. We like to scare you about war right before an election, right? Because that makes you crazy and you get scared and you get nervous and you got to take care of yourself. So you got to vote for the person with the biggest guns. Crazy making on purpose. So many things we manufacture just to make you go one way or another or do one thing or buy a product or not buy a product. Besides what they do to you, there are other things that happen to you that are not necessarily the result of an act of someone else. It could just be an event itself. Like 9/11 is an event. And when 9/11 happened, it would create in many people trauma. Now today I want to talk about acute stress disorder. Acute stress disorder, not very often used in psychiatry, but I use it a lot in my mind when I talk to people. And this is what happens to you as the result of something happening that's disastrous, that's bad. How many of you have had an acute stressor? We talked yesterday about acute stressors, like yesterday that we talked about loss of someone you love, right? And I don't mean just loss, I mean they die. We could talk about losing your job, losing your home, setting up a new home, being a refugee, losing a child. All of these things are major stressors.
So what specifically makes this different than normal stress disorder, this acute stress disorder?
The reaction. Instead of a reaction that says to you, Julian, I'll handle it, it takes you apart. So there's a place we have in our mind that can handle just so much. And then just a certain kind of stressor will crack your mind. So when it cracks your mind, you react in a certain way. So let me give you an idea. The person has been exposed to a traumatic event in which both of the following are present. The person experienced, witnessed, or was confronted with an event or events that involved actual or threatened death or serious injury, or a threat to the physical integrity of self and others. So that's one. So you could imagine something happens that's threatening to kill you, to hurt you.
Right. I had a friend who drove his motorcycle into a bus.
No more.
That is something that would go along with this, right?
Right. Exactly. That's one. And the person's response involved intense fear, helplessness, or horror. So not only does this happen to you, but your response to it is a total powerlessness, fear, and horror. And I mean horror, like you're scared now. So this is not post-traumatic stress disorder, which happens over an accumulation of time. This is the immediate response to a physical threat. Many of you have had experiences like this, near this, and you can call in because we're going to take your calls today at 212-757-5555. Isn't that cute? 757-5555. We finally got it straight. Don't we have a straight?
I believe so. I think we have this straight. 757-5555.
Yeah, you call in and we'll be taking your calls because I want to hear about your stresses. Now, there's a thing called malingering, which I should tell you about.
Malingering.
Malingering, yeah. And when you go into psychiatry, you go to see a psychiatrist, very often they'll say the person is malingering, and it means they're perceiving themselves as crippled over something that they're not crippled over, but they're using it as an excuse not to function.
Is that in any way related to like a hypochondriac?
Kind of. Yes, it could be.
Okay.
And there's another thing called Munchausen syndrome, which is where you invent a disease just to get treated. Mm-hmm. And people with Munchausen syndrome will go to doctors and they'll report on this condition over and over and over again. You know, so again. So more diagnostic criteria. There could be a sense of numbing, detachment, or an absence of emotional responsiveness. You could just go dull. What happened? You know, that thing happened to you? Very often in cases of rape, cases of trauma, cases of physical trauma that are not leaving physical damage, the person just goes numb. A reduction of awareness of his or her surroundings. Dissociative amnesia. You forget. You just forget what happened. The traumatic event is persistently re-experienced at least one of the following ways. Recurrent images, thoughts, dreams. You can't get it out of your mind. It keeps coming back and coming back and coming back and coming back. It won't go away. Avoidance of stimuli that aroused recollections of the trauma. Thoughts, feelings, conversations, activities, places.
So this is a very specific, event that it's linked to, this disorder. So it has, like, you have this one experience, and all of these sort of side effects connect back to that.
That's right.
Right, okay.
And it unhinges you.
Mm-hmm.
You're unhinged. You could have normally handled it. You got unhinged.
Right.
Marked symptoms of anxiety or increased arousal. Like a lot of poor concentration, hypervigilance, exaggerated startle response, which is you suddenly, every time you hear a noise, you jump. You know, you can't stand it. Motor restlessness, jumpy leg, jumpy foot. You know, you can't stop yourself. The disturbance causes clinically significant distress or impairment in social. Now, these are three very important criteria. Social or occupational. Whatever the event was that took place, is the result of it that you can't function as well in your social life or in your vocational life. If it cuts down on those, it's got the acute distress, stress disorder. The disturbance lasts for a minimum of 2 days and then a maximum of 4 weeks, because at 4 weeks it becomes post-traumatic stress disorder. And the disturbance is not due to the direct physical effects of something like either the event itself or a substance like drug or drug abuse or medication. So these are the things that make it this the one thing. But the thing that happens is most therapists miss this when they see it. They don't look for the effect of the moment. And we want to know why a person gets so unhinged. And we're taking your calls at 212-757-5555. And we've got Wendy on the line. Hey, Wendy O'Reilly.
Hi. Hi, Armand.
How are
Hello,
you?
I was calling because I 2 years ago I lost my mom suddenly to cancer, and at the same time I had just had a baby, my fifth child, and at the same time Hurricane Sandy knocked three trees down onto my house, and we were all inside the house and we were safe, but we had to, you know, obviously be evacuated, which was a big, you know, emergency scene by the fire department. And then we had to be relocated, and we didn't live in our house for a year. We moved back a year later after it was rebuilt. The whole house had to be rebuilt.
How did you get through all that?
Well, I'm sorry?
How did you get through all that? How did you do it?
You know, I don't know, but I know that 2 years later, it's been 2 years since my mom passed away and this has all happened, I sort of, like, you know, sort of floated in a fog through the whole thing.
That's right. That makes
really
sense.
Know. I just sort of, like, was in survival mode, and I didn't really, you know, I didn't really become too high or too low. I just sort of, like, you know, kept myself together so that I could take care of my family, my children, my newborn.
Let me ask you something. Fog floating Wendy. Were you a fog floater when you were a kid?
No.
Did you ever, you know, whenever you were young, did you ever find yourself just disconnecting yourself?
You know, there were times, because I did grow up with a brother who had special needs. He had Tourette syndrome and other, like, you know, psychiatric disorders. So I probably did that.
You had to step back. So you learned that defense.
Step back and, yeah.
And you learned that defense and you kept it in reserve. And then when all of this stuff happened, you pulled it up. You said, okay, let's go for it. Now, let me ask you this part about your mom.
Yeah.
Do you miss her?
I miss her terribly.
Tell me
about that.
I was
just actually listening to, you know, I miss her every day. I miss her terribly, especially, you know, having five children of my own. And I was 37 when she passed away. And, you know, my father actually passed away from sudden pancreatic cancer 4 years prior to that.
So if you could, if your mom could hear you right now, and if you could somehow communicate with her, because it took place so fast and it was in the middle of so much stuff, and if you were willing to say, okay, I'm going to let down the fog. If I let down the fog, what would I say to mom about what I feel?
I would tell her that, I would just tell her that, you know, I loved her and I, you know, I'm thankful for having such a wonderful mother, and, you know, that I'm sorry that I feel like she was, you know, I feel like she was sort of robbed of her time, you know, especially to spend with her grandchildren and,
That's, you know, all for her, but you know what's missing is you, Wendy.
It's me.
How about greedy Wendy? How about mommy, I miss you. Miss you. I was robbed.
I feel like that too. As a matter of fact, I was just thinking that, you know, I feel like, why was she taken from me so soon?
That's,
you know,
right.
What I mean?
From you, that's right.
From me. Mm-hmm.
From you. How big a support system do you have? You take care of everybody.
I do.
And I
don't have any other family or anything like that. I have wonderful friends, and they, you know, they are very much a support system, as my family, my husband and his family. So I do have a support system, but not like extended family, or, you know, I have a disabled brother. And
Wendy, have you ever had any kidney disorders?
No, but actually at the same time, I suffered a severe kidney stone issue.
That's what I thought.
And I had to rush to the hospital.
Yeah, that's what I
would imagine. Amazing that you would say that.
Yeah, it's amazing. See, that's what happens. What happens is when you go into that mode, your body says, this is real trauma. We have to do something. This is maybe death. And it decides that it's going to attack your water system.
Oh.
And it would make the most sense in the world that a kidney stone would develop right at that time. And it would send you in terrible, terrible pain.
Wow, I didn't know that. Absolutely.
Sure.
That's amazing. That, you know, and it was very painful. I had five children, and this kidney stone was nothing compared to the birth of five children. Yeah. So it was very painful.
I'm sorry you had to go through that. That's all past. You don't have that anymore?
No, I don't. I don't have any, you know, recurring issues from that.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Well, Wendy, you sound like a brave soul. Sorry you had to go through all that.
Thank you.
We'll just get ready for the next storm, you know?
Thank you, yep.
Okay.
Thank you, I appreciate it. And I love your show. I think it's so helpful.
Thanks a lot for calling in.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-757-5555. Roberta Maria Auntie and I did a series of programs called The Refugee Syndrome. You can find them on my website. It's really remarkable. It talks about what happens when people get a complete sense of loss, where they lose everything, how they react. I'm beginning to suspect that alcoholism is related to refugee syndrome, in as much as it's a way of trying to preserve yourself, trying to preserve the calm underneath it. I'm going to do some more work with that. More research on that. We're talking about acute stress disorder. We have Judith on the line. Hi there, Judith. It's Armand DeMille.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You're excited.
Well, I've been supposed to talk to you. I've been, you know, I donated for an appointment with you and got all bogged down and trying to prepare for that. And all kinds of stuff has been happening.
Wait a minute. What do you have to prepare for that for?
Well, I wanted to send you some background because it's all so complicated. And,
I see.
But it mostly goes back to, okay, all right. Six, seven, eight years ago, I found out some crazy news. Well, actually, it's somebody else's secret, so I can't say. But then in 2007, my boyfriend attacked me when I was breaking up with him. And he had never hit me before or anything. But I guess, you know, his defense was extreme emotional disturbance known as crime of passion, which was basically, okay, the gravy train is over, so that means it's okay for me to try to kill you. And then he also... The fight at the time also was that he didn't want me to play with any other bands, so he tried to cut off my hand and stab me in the throat, mouth, so I wouldn't sing with anybody else. So I was stabbed 30 times. And it took 6 years to come to trial, 2 years to find him, so we didn't finish that until a year and a half ago. But meanwhile, before that could even happen, my mom passed away.
Mm.
And I was in contract to buy a house.
Mm.
Because I was already on disability, so I couldn't afford market rents around here, but I could afford a multifamily house, go figure. And, well,
hey, Judith, this is a story, you're right. This is one that was, you have such a history here. You are somebody who is unique. I'll bet you are the kind of person who has the best wardrobe of anybody around.
How did you know that? And it's all packed because I haven't been able to unpack anything since Mom died.
You got to get those clothes out. Get those clothes out of there and show yourself off. It's spring. You're wearing boring stuff.
I can't until certain remodeling is done, and then I can start unpacking. And
you got to get your clothes out, Judith.
And, oh my gosh!
It'd change everything. You're brilliant in your clothing.
I'm wearing right now. I'm wearing a torn shirt with plaster. On
I understand.
It's in the middle of plastering one of the apartments.
very nice, but not who you are. And your spirit will change if you unpack the clothing and show us what you got.
How did you know that?
Who knows? Thank you for calling in. I'm looking forward to meeting with you.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
212-757-4488. Oh, no, it's not, is it? No, it's not. It's 757-5555. I said it is. 757, like we're on 57th Street. 757-5555. 212 area code. It's so nice to have a cool number. All right, and we're talking to Terry. Terry, hi, this is Armand DeMille. All Irish names so far. Wendy,
how
Judith, Terry, hi there, good. I'm going to expect Catherine Reed to be calling any minute now from Ireland. Hi there. I'm on the air. You're on the air.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about, because I just had a question on the subject about 9/11. I mean, I think everyone's gone through traumatic situations in life, and if you haven't, you will at some point, right, where you're kind of stunned in a sense. But when 9/11 happened, it was very odd because it seemed like there were so many people all at the same time. And if you look like, you know, in New York or even outside of New York, it's kind of like people were in a fog. Like, there were so many people in a fog. And in deep shock, it seemed, right?
Sure.
And what I found interesting on 9/11 was that while most people were so, almost everyone I came across was like really, at least that particular day, was sort of in a shock. I ran into somebody who, you know, you got a picture, all the planes were down, nobody
could fly.
Well,
wait a minute. Let me ask you something, Terry. What about John Lennon's death? How did that hit you?
Well, that was a sadness, because I think it was a shock in a sense that, you know, the Beatles are gone and
that's the way it got you. So it got you more symbolic. It didn't hit you the same way.
No, it was no way near the same.
And John Kennedy's death, you probably weren't around for that, right?
No.
So in your life, other than what happened in 9/11, what other major trauma have you been through, like with your father?
Oh, me? I've been through tons of major trauma.
I know. So, tell me what happened. Tell me what happened between you and your dad.
Well, my dad left when I was a baby, so I don't know
how
my
young,
dad
How
much,
young were you?
I was an infant. I never met him.
Never, ever met your dad? You curious about him?
As far as I know, yeah.
Are you curious about him?
I was most of my life. I don't know. At this point, I guess not as much anymore. You know, I know. I went through a situation where I was very lucky because I lived with my grandparents and my mother lived in the house, and eventually I had another sister, right? So I had a very happy childhood, even though my father wasn't around.
Pretty tough.
And my grandfather was a big help, in that area.
Is your grandfather still alive or he died?
Oh, no, he died. And, it was very strange because I lived in a life where it just seemed like everyone cared about everybody and life was always good and all of a sudden...
When your grandfather died, do you remember the event?
Oh, yeah, it was yesterday. It was terrible.
Tell me about that. Tell me about that. Stay with me. Grandpa dies. What's your reaction?
Oh, my goodness. It kind of killed me in a sense.
It killed his spirit in you. It took something, it reached inside your soul, it pulled out something and it threw it out and it went dark inside. It was like horrible.
Yeah, it really was. And then after he passed away, my stepfather passed away, my mother passed away, and my grandmother passed away. All in between three, four years period of time.
What a tough time.
And then my other relatives came in because I was young. I had a sister who was 16. I was 20. When my mother passed away, I was pregnant at the time, and I was just about to get married, but my grandmother had died, and then my mother died 6 months later. It was, really crazy stuff.
Isn't it amazing how much you could handle?
I'm sorry, but when I went through all that, I remember thinking to myself, gee, if I could just speak to my grandfather just one day, yeah, I'd be happy to give my whole life.
Okay, so let's call
him
up.
I don't need a future.
Let's call him up. What was Grandpa? What did you call Grandpa?
Pop.
Pop. You called him Pop? So let's imagine this. Let's imagine that God is an accumulation of particles, right? And that somewhere around this universe, Pop may be present. May just have not, maybe in the ear, he's maybe not listening. But if you could talk to Pop just one more sentence or two sentences, let's give him something, okay?
I wouldn't know what to say other than that I love you.
Say that to him. I don't know what to say to you other than I love you. Go ahead, keep going.
That's all I can say. I love you. I miss you. I'm so happy you were there.
Thank you so much for being there.
I cry every time I call you.
Yeah, so do I. Thank you very much, Terry. Thank you.
Thanks.
You're one of our teachers.
Well, thank you.
Sure.
And I love your show. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 212-757-5555. How do we get through it? How do we do it, friend? You know, how do we get through? How do we get through from one to the next, to the next, to the next? Come and get me. Go ahead. What do you got for me? I know a friend who gets physically ill, and he's physically ill, and he's older, and little things keep happening to him that go wrong. You know what his attitude is? Let's see what you got. Let's see what you got. Come on, bring it on. Bring it on. I'll handle it. I'll handle it. I'll handle you. Let's say hello to Robert. Robert, hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Yeah, good afternoon. Listen, I could do a better job than you.
Oh, thanks, Robert.
Not trying to insult you or anything, but I could do a better job than you.
Okay.
Why don't you put me on your show?
Okay. Well, you're on my show?
When I'm out of class.
Robert, you're on my show now.
No. I mean, actually, sitting in the office with you, answering calls.
Sure.
That'll be great.
All right, so why don't you get in touch with me by email? Let me know what you got, and I would love to have someone who could do a better job than me, because I could relax like crazy. It would
Sounds
be
good.
Wonderful.
Could you give me your email address, please?
Sure. It's Armand, Armand, @thepositivemind.com. And Robert, you're more than welcome.
Huh. Armand, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Sure. Thanks
okay,
for calling.
Okay, thank
in.
You. Bye-bye.
212-757-5555. Wouldn't that be great? Somebody who does a better job than me. See, I think Julian does a better job than me nowadays. And I think Ben does, too. They're great. I feel so happy to have somebody doing a little better. Okay, we got time for one more call. And then we're going to take a spring break. Spring break's not a bad idea. Jose!
Yes, hello.
Hello, Jose.
How are you, sir?
I'm good.
Thank you for your show. I'm listening every time I can get a chance. I caught the beginning of your show tonight. And basically what I can share with you at this point is, unfortunately, I experienced some trauma in my life, but I have no remembrance of it.
Uh-huh.
And what I came to find out many years later through my marriage counseling, along with my wife, is that my dad, somehow, some way, while I was in my mother's stomach, he had, basically delivered a physical blow to my head, little did I know. And I have a memory loss from the age, from the age of 13 and before. I don't remember anything. But I've been through a lot of struggles, and I have never really learned to what it is that keeps me going, you know?
Amazing.
All I know is, like, if and when at times I have had these moments where I can't deal, I just escape. But I still haven't learned and come to understand how I've come to survive, and I'm a fighter, basically. I can understand that, but I don't seem to understand.
Now let me ask you something, Jose.
And I'm listening to the callers.
Jose, do you have a hard time holding a job? What kind of job do you do?
No, not at all.
What do you do?
One second, please. Sorry. I actually work in the food service department.
And you do well with it?
Actually doing really well. I've been there for 8 years. I've never actually had a hard time.
And you like taking care of people? A lot of noise I hear. Is that the food service department?
I'm sorry, one second. I'm having a hard time hearing you. Give me 1 second, please.
Oh, I think
say that again?
Yes. Where are you now? What's that noise all around you?
I'm in a playground with the children. I'm trying to move away from them. I can hear you now.
Yeah, good. So Jose, somehow you get through all of this, including some kind of easy trauma when you were young, saying that, you know, your father hit your mother in the tummy and it must have blanched off the side of your head and hurt your head in some way and it made you inefficient in some way. But yet you, Jose, you get through life. You love children.
Yeah.
You're a good man. You give to people, right?
Yeah.
You serve.
Yes.
You know, that's what more could we ask of you? That's a great thing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being part of the team. We have to take a short break. Jose, it's nice to talk to you. If you want,
all
you
right,
can give
great.
Us a call back a little later. Sure.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye. We will have to take a short break. When we come back, some special music for you, right?
Open Up Mind with Armand DeMille on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City.
And this is The Positive Mind with Armand DeMille here on WBAI 99.5 FM. And that was Be What You Are by the Staple Singers.
We were talking about acute stress disorders, and we have about events that happen to people and how it affects them. Usually, sometimes what happens is an event follows an event. So, for example, let's say you're a kid and you lose something as a child. Well, let me give you a good example of this. A dog dies. Sometimes when you're a kid, the only thing you can trust in life is your dog. You know, your dog, your cat, something like that. You don't trust anybody in the family. Dog dies. Somebody decides that the way to get you out of the grief is they get you another dog. That makes sense, right? So they give you a second dog. Then that dog dies and they give you a cat. And somebody gets you a cat. So now it's 10 years after your original dog died. The reason the first dog was so important was because you had no family, because your family couldn't be trusted. So when your first dog died, what died was your feeling that there was somebody to trust. But since there were substitute dogs, you never had to deal with those feelings. Finally, when your cat dies in later life, you get flooded with overwhelming feelings of being alone. Why? Because the last dog and the dog before it were all cover-ups for the fact that you were an unloved child. So there are things that trigger things, that trigger things, that trigger things. Almost invariably, the sudden ending of a love relationship is one of those things. If I could think of trauma as a sudden, really acute stress disorder, discovery is horrible. Discovery of finding out that the person who you trusted is not trustworthy, devastating. Abandonment by a partner could be devastating, but only devastating if it represents something that happened in childhood, something that was the equivalent of that in childhood. Just a little head shrinking. Let's take another call. Bridget, you're on the line. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello, my beautiful Armand.
Hello, my beautiful Bridget. Happy Earth Day to you. Yes. Happy Spring Day yesterday and Happy Pot Day the day before, right? What a sequence.
Oh, my goodness. Well, everything you spoke about today is practically my life. I didn't have a loving relationship with my father. I was scared of him. It was his way or the highway. There was nobody to put that man in check. Mm. He beat the crap out of me many times.
Why? But you kept on loving him, didn't you?
Of course.
Of course you did. Sure. Sure you did.
I lost my brother on 9/11. He was a fireman.
Mm.
He was 36 years old, expecting his fifth child. I have subsequently gotten rid of my husband, who he was never there for me. He was, I don't know, I one time heard that one of the theories of marriage is that you go after somebody that has that broken relationship with the parent so you can fix it.
That's
so
an
I married
idea.
My father.
Yeah.
And now I stand on this pinnacle, and I want to try and reach out there and be happy. And I have a terrible time finding trust.
Sure.
I love to laugh. I make jokes of things because I like to, you know, the opposite of crying, I guess, is laughing. But I just don't know.
How many years have you been doing this?
Lost.
Bridget, how many years have you been doing this? How old are you now?
I'm 53.
Okay, 53.
I'm divorced 2 years.
Okay, 53 years old, divorced, and you're looking to trust. The main thing you're looking to trust, Bridget, you ready for this?
Yes.
You're looking to trust yourself. You don't trust you. You're afraid that you're going to get swept into something. You're afraid that you're going to make a fool of yourself again. You're afraid of you and your needs. That's the main thing you're afraid of. It's not trusting the other guy.
I identify with that. You're right.
Of course, it's not trusting the other guy because we know nobody's trustworthy. But are you trustworthy to yourself? If you're trustworthy to yourself, and I don't just mean this to give you big words, if you trust yourself, Then you can go into anything because you know you're going to make a decent exit if you have to make the exit.
So what is the first step?
The first step is when we do the announcement here at WBAI of our $200 donation. The first step is you got to buy one of those consultations and get in here and see me. And let me point to the person inside you that doesn't trust you. And we'll make friends with her. That's the first
step. I would love that.
Okay, well, early May, we're going to be making the announcement. We'll do it. It'd be nice to meet you finally.
Thank you. It's the second time I've been lucky enough to talk to you.
That's what I thought. I recognized you having spoken before. Yeah, you know, you're
from a long time ago. Yeah.
So we've been around a long way together, right? Well, let me ask you this. Here's a good question. You trust me?
I do trust you. Isn't that a funny thing? Very sound advice.
Is that the reason you trust me? Because I have good advice?
Probably more than that.
Yeah. What else could it be?
Similar humor. Like-mindedness.
Okay, so I'm a funny guy. Is that why you think you trust me? I'm going to tell you the answer.
I have a hard time breaking down the trust word.
Right.
It's one of those four-letter words.
That's trust. The reason that you trust me is because I'm trustworthy. See? Because I care about people. And you pick that up and you sense that. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hurt anybody. You know? And you get that sometimes. It's hard to find in the world. But I know everybody.
You can't find it in your own family.
that's
you can't find it in your own marriage.
Sometimes that's the last place
you find it.
Perhaps
you're right. Maybe I can't even find it looking in the mirror.
Oh, here we go again. What do you bake?
What do I bake?
Yeah.
What do I bake?
What do you bake?
I don't bake. I like soup and stew. You mean like in terms of like dessert?
Baking, yes, in baking. Not desserts, baking. What do you put in the oven? What do you bake? Like a casserole?
I'm going to say dinner. I mean, that's kind of a broad blanket thing, but I have a young daughter. Sometimes I'll bake cakes or cupcakes or brownies or...
Yeah, but you're not a sweet-loving person, are you?
Am I? I try to be.
All right. I got it. I can see it. You're going to be doing something very creative in your cooking soon. I can see it happening. What do you imagine it would be?
Peach cobbler.
Okay. You like that?
No, but somebody I love does.
Oh. Somebody you love loves peach cobbler?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
And oddly enough, may I also announce to you, he has kidney failure. Just about everybody in your conversation today highlighted my emotions.
Oh, I'm so sorry for him. What's his name?
Vincent.
Vincent.
For everybody listening, please be a donor.
Vincent, wherever you are, you got our heart. And you have our peach cobbler. Listen, when you make that peach cobbler, would you do me a favor?
Sure.
Make two?
You want one?
Yeah.
Okay, that sounds wonderful. I'm on a little scoop of vanilla ice cream on top.
I don't know about that part, but you'll make that judgment. And
okay.
I want you to give Vincent my best wishes and tell Vincent at any point, if he would like to speak with me, I will give him 20 minutes of my time without any price, without anything. I'll talk to him on the phone.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You just put me in touch with him.
Thank you, Armand.
Pleasure. Okay, Bridget, thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
God bless you.
Kidney failure, what a thing. 212-757-5555. And that's where we are. We're trying to get through. So let's talk about love. And let's talk about love as a possible trauma that gets to you, you know? And you look at it and you get hit by it right and left and you just don't know. How did this happen? What happened to me? How could it be? I thought I trusted. I thought I was wide open. And then all of a sudden your world falls apart. Very, very difficult. We're going to be, is it next week? Next week, May? No, next week we're not May, right? Good, we're still going to be with you. next Tuesday and Wednesday, and then following that we go into the May Marathon, during which time we'll be making all kinds of special offers. Imani, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How wonderful to hear from you.
This is my first time calling, but I listen to you all the time with my mom, so I'm really excited I got through.
You listen with your mom?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What an interesting thing. Imagine you and your mother listening to this radio program pointing out certain things. How did you get introduced to it?
How did she get introduced to it?
How did you get introduced to it? Did she say, listen to this guy?
No, she just has it blasting throughout the house. So, you know, I'm kind of forced to listen to it because I am her child. I kind of have similar interests. So I'm just like, turn that up some more. What was that point again? You know? And I take notes and stuff. But, the topic that, you know, I'm kind of going through something where you said acute stress disorder. I was like, I need to call him and talk to him.
Sure. What has your stress been?
It's kind of basic compared to the rest of the callers. Like, I'm young. I'm 25. I've been in longer relationships, but this past relationship has just got me all, like, messed up to the point where, like, my health is affected. You know, I'm smoking cigarettes. I'm doing all this stuff that really is just not good for my body. So right now, like, I'm really sick. I have chills. I keep throwing up. I keep, you know, my body aches. It's just, like, I'm tired of, like, feeling like this. I've tried meditation. I've tried, you know, just clearing my mind, and nothing's really working.
I got it. Imani, so let me ask you something.
Yes.
When you get, this is, somebody screwed you over, obviously, right?
Right.
Right? Now. Right. And when somebody screws you over, you try to understand, you try to meditate, you try to calm down. But aren't you pissed off?
Yeah, I am.
You are what?
I am very pissed off.
Okay,
very
now.
Angry.
Now, if you were to say, I'm angry.
Yes.
Right? And you say those words. Could you say those words out loud?
Out loud?
Could you say, I am angry?
Yes, I am angry.
Okay. I notice you laugh when you say it. Could you say, I am angry and not laugh?
Okay. I am angry.
Okay. Now, as you say it without laughing, you're going to feel a feeling creep up behind you. I want you to say it again. Say, I am angry.
I am angry.
I am angry because you, give me the rest of the sentence.
I am angry because I thought we were on the same page, and then I found out we weren't. And the way you went about it was just so shady. I wasn't expecting it, you know? So, I don't know.
So I'm angry at you. You're going to say that, right?
Yes, I'm angry at you.
Okay, now I want you to turn away from the microphone, and I want you to say it louder and louder, because I'm going to do magic with you if you do this with me. Okay, turn away from the mic, from the telephone, and just say, I'm angry, and say it again. Say it.
Say I'm it. Angry.
Say it louder. Say it louder.
I'm
just
angry.
Say it even louder. I want you to shout it, even if your mother hears it.
I'm angry.
Do it one more time. Keep going.
I'm angry.
Even louder than that.
I'm angry.
Okay, I'm going to do it with you. You ready? I'm going to be shouting too. I'm angry. You hear that? Come on, get it all the way up there. Try it up again. Don't stop.
I'm angry.
You see, there's a part of you controlling it because in your family, nobody ever liked you being angry.
Right.
So they took this, they gave you an angerectomy. You see, they kind of removed your right to be angry. And the reason you're so screwed up now is because you can't feel the boil. Right? But you're hurt and you're angry.
Huh?
You're hurt and you're angry.
Yes, I'm very hurt because this person was like my best friend. So I'm just like very confused.
Well,
it's like I feel like I'm going through a point where it's like I have to accept people's decision when they're around certain people and they want to change their perspective. I gotta let them go, and I feel like that's something that I haven't been able to accept yet. You know?
Slap them in the head instead. Don't give in so easy. Don't give in so easy. You got to fight. You got to keep that anger. Do not go silent into that dark night. Is that the dark good night?
Yes. And what do you, and how should I express this anger?
Well, the main way you express it is to feel it. And if you don't have a right to feel it yourself, you need to find a counselor who could help you get through it, because you're on the edge of a depression. And your depression could go very deep. The one I hear in you now, this is a great time to find some kind of counselor, and I know a whole bunch of them, you can send me an email, who would take you through this and just whip you out of it, and you wouldn't have to suffer with it. Okay, so get in touch with me. Go through my website, thepositivemind.com, and I'll find you somebody to help you out.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, Imani. Say hello to your mother at some point, would you please?
I will, of course.
What's her name?
Her name is Yvette Berry.
Yvette? Yeah. Yvette, I hope you're listening. Okay, thanks for calling in.
You take care.
212-757-5555. So there's another lesson we just learned. That part of what happens with this kind of stress disorder is when you don't have a way to fight your way out. Anger, you know, is just one of nature's defenses. Anger is nature's way of keeping you on top of it, you know, fighting back. Here we go. We have somebody online. Hi there. This is Armand DeMille. Carol, welcome.
How are you?
Good.
Armand.
Oh, Carol.
The same.
Carol.
All my life, I wanted to be somebody, only to find that I am. So I was just tying it into what you said, that a lot of times what we're looking for outside of ourselves is to find ourselves.
And you've done a good job in finding yourself.
It has been a lifelong work, Armand, but I was just wondering, the person who is not, because we have all had so much traumas in our life, right? And when callers call in, you always say to them, I'll put you on to someone who can speak, you know, who you can speak with.
Not always. I don't always do that. I sometimes do that.
But what about the person who is not able to do that?
What do you mean not able to?
The person who is not able to sit down with a professional reason.
Give me a reason why they can't.
Their life just what?
Well, give me a reason why they can't sit down with a professional.
Because they may not be financially able to.
Oh, forget about financial ability. There's always people out there who are willing to help. There are people who would treat people for no money or very little money. There are people who are dedicated to helping out.
But the person is not in a position to access that help.
But you see, I'm saying to you, then they don't want to.
Or they don't want to. If they really want it,
because it's there. It's available, yes.
Okay.
You know, I know enough good people around town that even these are people who even, they're not even professionals, who would be helpful to be with anybody who's feels messed up and needs some time. You know?
I feel like I would do that. I feel I have so much to give. I could just sit down and listen to people.
Okay, then. Not a bad idea, Carol.
I would do that.
So why don't you send me an email?
I have a gift to just listen.
Sure.
Non-judgmentally. But
good.
I'm saying if proper, you know.
I'm sure you do that all the time.
I do, Armand, but then there's nobody to sit down to do it for me. I do it for others, but there's nobody to do it for me.
Oh, well, that's a different story, yes.
Unless when I call you and I get some, you know, I listen to you and, you know, you're like a university on the air.
Yeah.
You know, you have helped me so much. But I'm saying the person who does not have that, they just go through their life in pain and, or, you know, I mean, because...
We're getting them a little at a time, Carol. We're getting them, and we've got you on the team, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is terrific. I thank you so much for calling in again.
Thank you. Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
Okay.
That's Carol. I'm glad she called in. 212-757-5555. So the traumas and the incidents, now the phones don't stop, of course. The traumas and the incidents and the things that happen, we recover from. We're stronger than them. We don't recover from them. It means one of two things. Either we don't want to, because we're holding on to one position, number one, or on another level, if we don't want to, you know, we can't. Last caller, Betty.
Hi.
Hi there. Isn't that lucky, Betty? Hi. You got in here.
Yes. I'm listening to your program, and
off and on in my life, I've always had a sense of a loneliness that comes over me. And like at the end of the summer, especially, or after Christmas. And I've, you know, learned how to not be so melancholy and cry and feel sorry. But then I saw a friend of mine yesterday that we went to elementary school, and we're senior citizens now. And so I asked him, I said, so how are you doing? And he was like, eh. And so I said, what does that mean? I said, you're still smoking those cigarettes? And so he says, yeah, because there's nothing to do in life. And it brought me right back to thinking that same thought, you know, from the past, you know, that loneliness. And I realized that I'm not the only one that has been going through this struggle in life and trying to stay on top. So that's the purpose of my calling you.
Mm. So how do you stay on top?
How do I stand?
How do you stay on top? How do you stay
on top? I say to myself, it's a part of survival for the fittest, because there's always things groping at you in your mind. Not all the time, but there's certain periods. So I get up out of that. I've learned to get up out of that mode and look for something that's going to make me happy. I think I told you before, I spoke to you once before, I do the hip-hop dancing.
Yes.
I was going to the Jazzmobile because I would love to sing, but, you know, I sing for myself. Now I'm looking for something else that can fill in the gap, because I realize that you can't shop forever. That's just not going to get it. So I'm looking for something that I can satisfy myself with myself and use other things in the environment, you know, to help me.
Well, you're a beautiful teacher, you know. Thank God you're out there between your dance and your movement and everything else you do. You're a wonderful teacher. And even if the depression is there, even if it's there, even if it's sitting underneath you, you've got a great blessing to put out there, Betty.
Thank you.
Thank you for being on this planet. We need you. Stick around. Okay. I'll be back with you next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Thanks for calling in, Betty. Thanks, Betty. This is Armand DeMille. We'll be back with you next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Thank you, Julian.